FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
This episode of the Financial Survival Network is brought to you in part by Sandstorm Gold Royalties. Sandstorm Gold Royalties is a different kind of gold company. They purchase royalties on select mining operations and receive a percentage of the revenue in return. Sandstorm now has a portfolio of over 185 gold royalties around the world. See how gold royalties differ from other gold mining investments at sandstormgold.com. That's sandstormgold.com. Sandstorm Gold Royalties trades on the TSX as SSL and on the New York Stock Exchange American as SAND.
Welcome, and you are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. Today's 11/15/18. Exactly 1.5 months left to go to this stupendous year. I hope it's been a good one for you all, and certainly has for a lot of our markets, not so much for gold and silver. Certainly not for oil. Well, oil did well, but it's kind of ending with a whimper. So figured, since we're getting close to the end of the year, let's touch base with Eric Haddock, insidetrack.com. That's inside, I-N-S-I-I-D-E, track.com. Eric, welcome back.
Oh, thanks for having me back, Jerry.
Always. Hey, and by the way, if you want to write to Eric or myself, just email us, kl@kerrylutz.com. So Eric, hey, we're almost done with the year here, and a lot's been going on. We see the oil market crashing, precious metals took a hit, a lot of stuff. Just let's start out with the precious metals. Are we still going to see that fourth quarter surge?
The way I have been describing precious metals, and there's a couple markets that operate like this, where often 80 to 90% of their move is right at the end of a cycle. And so coming into this year, I was focused on two key cycles and one secondary cycle as far as potential tops in the market, and usually you'll see a 2 to 4 week surge leading into those highs. The first of those cycles was in late January, early February, and was turned out to be the culmination of really about a 6 week advance in gold and silver and mining stocks. And the second one was in late November, early December. And the way that near-term cycles are shaping up, it looks more like early December. And so, again, I would expect to see a 2 to 4 week surge going into that potential high. A cycle high in and of itself doesn't dictate whether it's going to be higher or lower than previous cycles, but it's pretty obvious in this one that it's far more likely to be lower than the January cycle high. And so I do think that we're going to see something like that. I still think it's going to be limited in scope and stay within the parameters of this probably 12 to 18 month trading range that we've seen. Mm-hmm. And it's all part of a multi-year corrective rally that I continue to anticipate, that we saw the first phase of that in 2016. That was the kind of the starting gun being fired, or just showing that the bear market was complete, and now we were into a upside corrective phase that could easily last as long as the downtrend had lasted, about 4 years or so. Mm-hmm. And so I think that from a broader perspective, that still is the outlook, and it's kind of one of these large sideways but angling up patterns when you look at the rally in 2016 and the pullback into 2017 to a and even into third quarter of 2018. That set a higher low, which would be kind of a B wave in Elliott wave terms.
Right.
And then you get the onset of a 1 to 2 year C wave advance. So that's kind of the broader perspective I'm looking at. And of course, the link to the dollar. And throughout this year, you've seen the dollar recovering, and that has really kept a lid on any of your anti-dollar options, from gold and silver to foreign currencies to Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So cryptocurrencies, are we seeing a bright future for them here or what?
I think that the bright future for them is still out on the horizon. That we certainly saw our bubble and initial bubble and break down from that. And there's, after something like that, there's an extended period of consolidation, of bulls licking their wounds. I think there will be a time for them in the future, but I think it still is out on the horizon.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. So then we're going to look at, first let's look at the dollar. So the dollar is just going to, it's in this uptrend. It's been there for several years now. It looks, by all indications, like it's going to keep going, huh?
On a 6 to 12 month or 12 to 24 month basis, I would say yes. But there are a lot of upside objectives that it has fulfilled in recent months, and particularly on the October 31st close, there was a monthly signal that I've been waiting for that finally was triggered. And that signal, usually it's twofold, and it's kind of a dichotomy, that the signal confirms to you that a 1 to 2 year bottom is in place, and that another impulse wave is going to be seen down the road a little bit. But at the same time, it's confirming those bullish implications. It's also setting the stage for an initial pullback. It's kind of like the culmination of a first wave to the upside, as opposed to a market that just has corrected to the upside and is ready to go into a new decline. So that signal finally was activated at the end of October. You often see a little bit of follow through, which we're seeing in November, but very commonly starting during the next period. So in this case, we're talking about months, so a monthly cycle or a monthly trend pattern. Within the next month, you'll see the start of a 1 to 3 month correction. So I think that we're going to see something like that in the dollar. Mm-hmm. And based on some multi-month and even multi-year cycles, it wouldn't surprise me to see the dollar consolidate between now and through the first quarter of next year, and even wait till February or March of 2019 to finish that correction, to set a secondary low. And by that, I mean a low that would be above this past February's low, mm-hmm. but it would be the lowest point of the correction from the current highs. So setting a secondary low in February or March of next year, and then entering a new impulse wave to the upside. So that, if that's accurate, that also is a window of opportunity between now and February, March, where you could see things like gold have a decent recovery, because there's not just this expectation for an intermediate surge into late November, early December, but there's some little bit broader cycles in gold that say you could see another rally into February, March of next year.
Mm-hmm.
So if the dollar does enter corrective phase here, you could see a lot of reactions, a lot of ramifications through correlated or inversely correlated markets.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. So interesting times ahead. Oil. It's really hit the skids recently. You know, it's down in the 50s again, which is bad news if you're an oil company. But is this trend going to continue, the downward trend in oil? I mean, right now as we speak, it's 56.56. What a good number. That's the WTI West Texas Intermediate. What are you seeing here?
Well, both crude oil and unleaded gas have plunged right back to the lows that they saw in the beginning of the year, which is a pretty decisive reversal pattern when you have a market that starts out the year, sets an initial low, and then rallies into at least mid-year, and then before the end of the year is able to drop to new lows. It's what I call an inverted V formation on an intra-year basis. But there was a lot involved in crude and the energy markets that I've been discussing since late last year. And it was even tied into Middle East cycles that I talked about, where from September of 2017 through September of 2018, I thought would be an increase in tensions in the Middle East and also an ongoing bull market in crude until we hit that third quarter of 2018. And that was where you had multi-year cycles. There's a five-year cycle between highs that was coming into play in third quarter, right around September of 2018. There's about a two-and-a-half-year cycle that was saying the same thing. Mm-hmm. And there were several monthly and weekly cycles that all year long have kept me focused on third quarter of 2018 for the final top of the year. And I did a series of articles in leading into that, just talking about the unique correlation you've seen for the last two or three years between energy and equity markets. And that even though they're not turning at exactly the same points and they're not undergoing the exact same uptrends and downtrends, that if you step back and look at the forest for the trees and you compare the energy and the equity markets, all of their swings have been very closely coinciding, very closely correlated. And it was fitting with the scenario I was describing for an October plunge in the stock market. And that was that whole two-year cycle that I think I had also discussed with you a month or so ago. But it was in lockstep with the monthly and the yearly cycles in crude in the energy complex that were saying we should see a 6 to 12 month top in the third quarter, and ideally in that time frame between late August and late September. So I do think that now that the market has validated those cycles and fulfilled the ensuing sell-off, I think that peak is going to hold for 6 to 12 months. But we are at a critical support level, so it wouldn't surprise me at all to see 2 to 4 weeks of consolidation holding above these those support levels that are around 54, 55 in crude.
Okay, so yeah, interesting. Do you think there's any chance of a shortage coming up or any supply disruptions in the not too distant future?
You know, I really couldn't. There's nothing in my work showing that, but I also don't get so involved in all the different fundamentals and possible fundamentals. Obviously, you have the back and forth between OPEC, Saudi Arabia, and Russia, and you know, now pushing for some cuts, and you've got the Iran sanctions going to place, but then there's waivers for, what was it, like 8 European countries, at least for a certain amount of time. So, you know, some of those things that they're anticipating turn out to be far less significant than they were originally anticipated. And I think that's even part of what you're seeing here, where the market's headed up right into that renewing of sanctions and withdrawal from the agreement.
Right.
But then all of a sudden, the market realizes that that's not as momentous of an event as it figured it was going to be.
Uh-huh. So,
and that's where the technicals and the cycles to me are just such a valuable tool, because by the time you find out the fundamentals, so has the rest of the world. But so many of these technical and cyclical signals give you some advance warning.
Right. Right. So speaking of cycles and such, I saved the best for last. Looking at the stock market, okay, it's obviously hit some resistance here. It hasn't plunged, but it is certainly down from its high, and a lot of stocks are down. What are the tea leaves telling you there?
There is, I kind of want to approach that in a couple phases. When I've been looking at the 2018, 2019, 2020 outlook, just a very general outlook that I had was to see a topping phase throughout 2018. There were a series of three important highs I thought we would see, and that October, and I've been publishing this since the beginning of the year, that October was the likely time for a sharp sell-off. It's not, not out of the blue. Even in the months leading up to that, I was discussing this 2-year cycle that has just been recurring with uncanny similarity and precision throughout this bull market, and triggering similar events in 2010, 2012, 2014, 2016. And it was set up along with a lot of other confirming and corroborating indicators for an October plunge this year. And when we got the sell signals in the NASDAQ that I published at the end of September, early October, it just confirmed all that and just reinforced that we should see a 10 to 15% drop in October.
Right.
And like I said, that's been something that when you go back over this 2-year recurrence, the entire year has had strong similarities between each of those markets in 2012, 2014, 2016, and I think there was even some in 2010, where the market starts out the year with a pretty decent sell-off and bottoms within the same 10 to 12-day period between February 5th and 16th, and you look back on this 2-year basis, every time it bottomed during that same time. Then it takes a certain amount of time to get back up and retest and exceed its preceding highs. And then in each case, between mid-September, mid-October, there was a sharp sell-off. The difference that I see here is that there was, on a weekly basis, a similar trend signal that I was talking about with the dollar on a monthly basis, and also inverted. So let me explain that. During that sell-off on October 26th, we finally got a weekly trend signal that I've been waiting for. And here again, it signals that dichotomy of expectations. One is that it confirms that a 3 to 6 month peak is intact and that you're going to see another sell-off after an intervening rebound.
Mm-hmm.
And the other factor, the other phase of that, is that it usually times an initial low within a couple days. And sure enough, that signal was triggered on the 26th. The market spiked a little lower on the following Monday and then recovered from there. So the series of three highs in 2018 is to me a precursor to some bigger swings and more downside in 2019, but in phases. I don't think that that's going to come all at once, and I think that you're going to see signs and signals leading up to a larger sell-off that's probably more likely second quarter, third quarter of next year. But an overall topping phase that I often equate to an old wooden roller coaster going over the summit, where each car passes the summit at a different time, but it's not until the last car makes it over that you can then start to accelerate to the bottom. And these cycles are like that too, that
right.
different indexes peak at different times, but it's not until all of them have expended their upside potential and their mm-hmm. their cyclic, their timing, that then you're in a better position to see an accelerated decline.
Right. So, but it's been holding pretty well. Are you surprised how well it's been holding up to this point, really? I mean, I know you foresaw some weakness in it for sure, but...
Mid-year, I thought we were going to see a bit more of a sell-off than we got. And so the extension from there certainly was more than I thought we would see before the next decline. But once it was clear that expectation was wrong, then things really started to line up as we came into mm-hmm. The September period.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, interesting. So we got some interesting markets ahead there. You seeing anything else that we really should know about here or think about?
No, I think that really does cover most of the primary markets. The interest rate markets, I think, are still going to kind of vacillate here for probably until second or third quarter of next year.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think there's going to be anything big significant out of them in the near term. So that's probably most of the primary markets.
Mm-hmm. All right. Interesting. Interesting. So we covered the markets. So we got, they're a little bit murky, but some are headed lower, some are headed a little higher. Any guesses for where precious metals might be heading in the coming year?
As far as price objectives, not until this secondary bottom has triggered some confirmation signals, and that's when I start to the upside outlook starts to get honed down and get more specifics as far as upside potential. So that's what I'm waiting on at this point.
Mm-hmm. Okay, it's fascinating as always. Speaking with you, Eric.
I should say, along with that, I still think that out on a 1 to 2 year basis, that that gold should work back up towards that 2016 peak and even get above that back into the 1400 handle. But again, that's a 1 to 2 year time horizon.
Mm-hmm. So 1 to 2 years, huh? Well, hey, it's really fascinating, and we'll just see what's going to happen here, because I guess you never know until it happens, right?
Yeah, and I think that we certainly are probably going to enter a period, even based on the political situation here in the U.S., where there may be a little more uncertainty infused into the mix. And up until now, there was certainly a lot of rhetorical conflict, but policy and some of the economic things were kind of maybe not a known factor, but a pretty mm-hmm. the tax cuts that
yeah.
were discussed since the election and some of the trade issues. You knew what was coming. You didn't know how it was going to impact things. But I think that moving forward, there's probably going to be a lot wider swings in sentiment and more uncertainty as to what to expect. So you could certainly mm-hmm. see those type of fundamentals start to corroborate what the cycles and technicals are showing.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, hey, we're in for interesting times. The so-called trade war is going to rear its ugly head in the coming year, more so than it already has. And I guess we'll see what effects it has on the market and sentiment and cycles. But it looks like we're heading towards a trade environment where if we were living in the Wild West the past 20 years or 30 years since China got admitted to the WTO, I think the Wild West is coming to an end.
Could be.
Yeah, could be. All right. Hey, Eric, we want to find you. Tell us all the places where we can find you on the web.
InsideTrackTrading.com is the primary site. We have been shifting from InsideTrack.com to InsideTrackTrading.com, but as you pointed out in the beginning, it's that extra I in the middle.
Yes.
So it's InsideTrade, TrackTrading.com, and there's plenty of samples, archived reports, and you can also contact us for a free trial and some other samples of recent reports, including a couple that I've done on the gold mining stocks and gold and silver cycles, copper. And there's a few reports that might be of interest to some of your listeners.
All right. Hey, we'll have a link to the sites in the show notes of this interview on financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Eric, it's always a pleasure. Hey, happy Thanksgiving. We'll probably talk to you once before the end of the year to get your prognostications for the coming year on all the markets that we usually cover. And till then, be well.
All right. Thank you. You too, Kerry, and have a good Thanksgiving.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.